Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Exclusive wild card playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wild card playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day, all Bills all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Boy, do we have a treat for you here on this episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Welcome in, Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. It's playoff week, so we got to pull out all the stops, and we reached to the not-so-far-way-back machine to pull in one of our good buddies that we covered when he played for the Buffalo Bills, played for the Jaguars, played for the Kansas City Chiefs, former center for the Bills, Mitch Morse, joins the show. Matt, this is great. It was your suggestion. You went out and got Mitch, and I love it. And Mitch, we love having you, buddy.
Well, boys. I knew we had to get Mitch because he is, now I don't see it on the shelf behind you, but Mitch is a former recipient of the Kent Hall Stand-Up Guy Award for the Buffalo Bills chapter of the Pro Football Writers Association. So I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure Mitch is going to say yes, so we'll reach out. So Mitch, thank you for saying yes. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, it's such a treat to get to talk to you guys in any facet. Of course, seeing you guys do your thing. This is your dojo. To be invited into your dojo, it's remarkable. So I appreciate you. It's kind of, it's always kind of, it still freaks me out every time I see Sal tan. Like it's just, and those teeth are just stinking white, dude. It's a privilege to be on here. Thank you, fellas.
Well, you know, we got to look good a little bit here to be on TV and now video podcast. And you're getting into this world now. What's it been like for you?
It's been humbling, Sal. Oh, my gosh. It's been incredibly humbling. I will say, of course, I did not have visions of grandeur in this, speaking of dojo, in this dojo, but it has been extremely humbling. It's a saturated market, and the folks that stand out like yourselves are the ones that are persistent, resilient, know what they're talking about, have their niche, and we're trying to figure all of that out. We enjoy the heck out of it. We enjoy chatting with people. It fills our cup up. We just would love to have more opportunities to do it, and so it's a slow maturation process, to say the least, but we're having a blast doing it.
So tell everybody where they can watch you, where they can listen to you. You know, I know that you're still in the infancy, but you've got a lot of episodes now.
Yes. Well, thank you. We are on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, all that the stuff. And it's Monday mornings with Mitch. Sometimes, most of the times it's posted on Monday mornings, which we have found out is not the best time, especially in the NFL world, to post about football's topics, because it's just a saturated time. But please join us. We've had a blast. We've had some folks do some serious charity cases by jumping on our show, and we're looking forward to kicking off season two with some fun guests. So I appreciate you guys, man. It's been a blast.
The biggest consternation I had and have still is what to put behind me. I mean, honestly, like, do you go through that? You're like, wait, what should it be? I've gone through like five different sets behind me. My wife's like, dude, like, don't worry about it. Just do this, just do that. And I'm like, no, it looks better here. I mean, that's honestly something I struggle with.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, Pottery Barn really came through. Yeah, I mean, you get your bang for your buck, but you're definitely forking over the cheese. And then I feel like it's a marathon, not a sprint. Yes, the helmets are here and there's other things you can't see. But I feel like it's just going to be kind of an ever flowing evolving deal. So far, this is it. I have another helmet down here, but I do pander to certain audiences, and I'm pandering to y'all's. So this bad boy will stay down here for a bit. But it's dude, to answer your question in long form, I've just been so overjoyed being in this space. But at the same time, it's been more than humbling.
How is retirement? Do you enjoy it? Are you thrilled? Like, you know, I know that I'm sure it was, I don't know. Was it a difficult decision? And how do you feel a year later?
Great question. It was not a difficult decision at the time. Of course, when you put pen to paper for a 2-year contract, you have every inkling of fulfilling your contractual duty to a team, but you also kind of have to listen to your heart. And I'll tell you what, I know I say this over and over again, the Holy Spirit has worked in many different facets of my life. And I was in Harry Potter land. We were playing in London for 2 weeks last year with the Jags, and we had just gotten the brakes beaten off us by the Chicago Bears. I had played terrible. I'd kind of gotten reamed in front of the team, as I should be, like put a poster on it, right? But the studio where they filmed Harry Potter was right next to our hotel, the Grove. It's where the Bills stay sometimes. Yep. And I'm sitting there kind of going through platform 9 3/4, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to play football anymore. I definitely don't want to be a wizard either, but I don't want to play football. And I had like a 7-hour conversation with my wife when I got back to the hotel. I made the decision that I was going to be done. But it's interesting because you have this decision made, but you can't act upon it and you can't let it affect the way you play, because not only are you trying to put the best product out there yourself, but you don't want it to affect anyone else. You're prideful. And to be honest, the Jags, after my last year, they had gone through a complete overhaul. And I think that's one of the reasons why they are such a really good ball club this year. Tony Boselli, Hall of Famer, is the president of the team. James Gladstone came in, you know, young gun from, he was over with all those folks over in Los Angeles, the Rams, all sorts of stuff. And then Liam Cohen was super nice. But, you know, they kind of came to me. It was like, hey, are you sure you want to go through a rebuild in year 11? And thank God they did. They fiscally, I still had, some cheese. Mm-hmm. That contractually I was due to give back if I had retired, but they were very kind and let me keep it. They were gracious and thankful for the 1 year I was there. We weren't very good, but you know, I felt like me being a pro really helped in that, and just trying to be the best teammate I could be. And it was one of those things that I feel like they gave me the opportunity to retire, or they were going to retire me, because they kind of cleared shop of everyone. So really thankful for that organization.
Mitch, we're going to talk football here. And before we get into the nuts and bolts of this matchup, settle a bit of a fun debate Matt and I had on our last show. Okay. So the Bills, obviously in 2017, before you came to Buffalo, break the playoff drought, go to Jacksonville, and things don't go well. It's a really low scoring game. They wind up losing that game. In 2021, a team you were on, you go down to Jacksonville and lose to an Urban Meyer coach team. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, it might be considered one of the worst losses in the, you know, McDermott, Josh Allen era. Ooh, sure. 2023, you go to London. The Bills lose in London to Jacksonville. And oh my God, there they are again. They go on the road. Now in Buffalo, they've beaten them. And
you sure
Matt,
did.
Matt believes, and Matt said he believes, I don't want to speak for you, Matt, but basically like the history comes into play. Like when you think about it, I say, no, it doesn't. They're professional athletes. They don't care what happened there. It's you go and play one game at a time. The last time you guys in 2021, it was Jerry Hughes and Star Lotulelei on defense. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter to me. What's the truth here?
It's a really interesting question, and one that I find myself as a spectator. I find myself as a spectator putting more merit into that than when I was playing. As a professional, every team you're on is different. You could be on the same team. You can be on some in Buffalo for 5 seasons. It was 5 different teams. Yes, they had the core players and stuff, but you're a different person in general from 1 year to the next. You know, a year is a lifetime as a professional. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. I would not put too much merit into the history of that. I would say each team is so different. They're wired different. And the Bills team coming in here is one that's been, it's battle tested on the road in the playoffs. Yes, it hasn't gone the way they want it to, but it's not because of, there's so many facets of the game that play into it. It's not because of the quarterback. didn't play too hot. You know, we all have a role to play in losing, but I wouldn't put too much stock into that. It's easy to, but as a player, you really don't think too much about it.
You know, you naturally transitioned to the next thing that I wanted to talk about. So even though you're disagreeing with me, and I certainly trust your word over mine in this instance, I do appreciate the setup here. When we think about this game on the outside looking in, one of the buzzwords in Buffalo these last couple of days has been playoff experience and whether or not that matters. Now, I talked to Trey after the game, and he kind of poured cold water on it. And that, I don't know if it surprised me, but I was, I guess, just like a bit taken back by it because I was like, hey, you know, I know you just finished a game. It's the Jags. You start to do some research. Hey, Liam Cohen's first game as an NFL head coach in the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence's third game. Then you look at the Bills and it's like McDermott's 14th, Josh's 13th. Does playoff experience matter? Is that something that should help the Bills?
Yes, it should. I would say it's player to player, right? I you know, the more you can bank, I think, adversity in the playoffs, right? Because inside of yourself, you're inside screaming in the playoffs because you understand the intensity, the weight of each game. But when you have that recall to go back on, you understand that there's a reason what got you to where you are right now, and that's sticking to what you know, sticking to your guns, not making it too big of a thing. I would say, I mean, if you look on that in general, Trevor Lawrence has in his back pocket a 27-point comeback against the Chargers. So yeah. You could, if you do it one way, you got to look at it the other. You know, it's fun. I have skin in the game totally for both teams. But if I objectively take a step back and look at this game, just these two teams playing each other, this is one of the biggest games of the season. These are two absolute juggernauts coming to a head. I mean, you look at the Jags, and I know we'll talk about it, but this 8-game win streak has been phenomenal. The Bills have felt like they've gotten a little bit of spark. Yes, it's been a little bit sporadic, but as is Buffalo football at times, like, it's just how it is. To answer your question, I wouldn't put too much merit into that either, except for the players understanding that have been there before to not hit the panic button when adversity hits, because it will.
You have snap the ball to Patrick Mahomes, to Josh Allen, and to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, pretty darn good resume. Absolutely. On your part. Now, look, they're all different in their own way, so I'm not going to ask you to kind of necessarily compare them. But what about Trevor kind of has gotten him to this level where he is today after what you saw when you were with Patrick and Josh and knowing how great they were?
Sure. Well, when I think of Trevor, I think of stoicism. He's a 40-year-old man. Disposition wise and how he handles adversity in a 25, 26 year old man's body, nothing rattles the dude. At the same time, that can also be a little bit of a deterrent in regards to having that fuel, that fire. He's got it. It just doesn't manifest itself like these super competitors that you see. It might not transcend a huddle when they walk into it, but that I would say is the biggest thing for him, is that he could be up by 20 or down by 20. His disposition is the exact same. And I think when you look at a quarterback for long-term success, that's so huge. His short-term memory is insane, or short-term, you know, memory, yeah, is insane in regards to if he makes mistakes. And also if he's doing well, like he walks in the huddle the exact same. So I think that presence is what you want in a star quarterback, and he's got it. And this year you can just tell he's unabashedly unapologetic in regards to how he's playing. I think you look at these last few weeks, he's not afraid to take these deep shots. He's got two receivers who are averaging over 10 yards per carry. The guy they're not talking about enough is Parker Washington, who's a tremendous football player. This kid can take a house call from 80 yards. He's an unbelievable kick returner too. I love Trevor in general. He's just a good person, and it's fun to see him get his flowers. I've been along for a few rides that I was just happy to be a part of, man, and to be a part of some quarterbacks that have just really played some good football, and he's definitely one of them.
You know, before we started recording, Mitch, you said you kind of saw this coming. Like, you thought this Jags team could be really legit this year. What was it that kind of led you that way?
Man, you know, when you're on a losing team, people really don't take your word for what it's worth, right? You sit there and I'm in practice. I'm in OTAs with the Jags. I'm in practice. I'm with these guys. I'm seeing them do their thing. And I'm just like, man, this team is got something. These guys, some serious dudes who can play football. and it just wasn't correlating to wins. And you tell your friends in that, and they kind of take it with a grain of salt, and they kind of, you know, they tell you to go kick rocks just a touch, but they have the talent, and it just shows. Like, I love Doug Peterson. He was my first offensive coordinator in the NFL. It's the reason why I came down to Jacksonville. But there is something to a change of tide, a change of scenery, a change mm-hmm. of an interjection of, you know, of some new blood and just new vision. And you can't refute what Liam Cohen's done with this team. It's been tremendous. They're playing lights out, dude.
By the way, as we are recording here, Alex Tuck just scored again. The Sabres are up 3-0. You miss going to Sabres games, Mitch?
I miss going to – no. No, I
no.
I miss going to Bandits games.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I miss going to Bandits games because those are rowdy. I would love to see the Sabres now.
They're better like now, though.
Talk about interjection of energy.
Yeah,
sure. No kidding.
Man, I mean, you knew that Buffalo – I mean, Buffalo is a sports town, and they love hockey. It's just – I know it's just been pounding at their souls for a while. So to see them do well, it's a privilege, man.
I'm going to throw it up here, show you guys something. I put up a poll earlier – on at Sal Sports on X, which concerns you more heading to the game Sunday, Bills Mafia, Bills offense or Bills defense? And look at that split, right? It's the defense.
That's crazy.
It's incredible. After 2,400 votes, 53% of Bills fans are more concerned about the Bills defense than they are the Bills offense. But it's pretty amazing right there. All right, so let's dig into that a little bit. This Jaguars defense is really, really good. They take the ball away. It's second most amount of takeaways in the league. They don't get to the quarterback all that much, but they still take the ball away. How does that wash? A lot of times the teams that take the ball away also sack the quarterback. They don't do that like necessarily Houston does or some team like that. Why is that? What is it about their defense?
Oh, Houston's an anomaly now. That's a great question. I think Anthony Campanelli, the guy they brought in, he was the linebackers coach for the Packers at the time before they brought him in. He's interjected two different types of defense, which is kind of like it's a hard-nosed, physical-ass defense that also presents itself a little bit like a Brian Flores defense where it shows you different things, and they rely heavily on their linebackers who are exceptional football players. They're creating pressures. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, sacks don't always equate. Right. It's a super sexy stat line, but stats don't always equate to success. They usually do. But the statistic that does almost 100% equate to success is turnover ratio.
That's right.
And that is something that they definitely have going for them.
It's always weird because when you talk about a game and when people ask you like, hey, what do you think is going to happen? And sometimes you just, you know, bring up the turnovers. It's so easy that sometimes it feels like you're not doing your homework. But I'm like, no, listen, when the Bills don't turn the ball over, they are damn good. When they do, it seems to be an issue. And that's what we have seen this year.
8-0 this year when they won the turnover battle, by the way.
That's
crazy.
Some beautiful statistic. It's the best.
So when I think about this game, I think about, hey, the Bills offense that you played on, Mitch, was starting to trend in this direction. But like, hey, they run the ball a shit ton now. Like they love giving it to James Cook. But the Jags are really, really good at stopping the run. When Joe Brady is in those rooms and they are figuring out the plan for this week, do they say, we do not care? We are not changing our identity because they're good at this. We will win. Or do you say, we know they're good at that. Let's pivot and do something that they aren't as good at.
You definitely have to pivot to a certain extent. Now, pivoting out of the run game is not the answer to the question. I think what we've seen the past few weeks, especially from Joe Brady, for the first 10 weeks, I would have told you exactly what run play is their bread and butter, which is the outside, you know, the weak side outside zone with the backside cutback, and then maybe a duo scheme with a bounce outside. They have run between the tackles a ton these past few weeks, something that I didn't know was in their repertoire. So that just shows not only, you know, just being able to be flexible in this, understanding how defenses are attacking you, but just kind of the genius of Joe Brady and Aaron Crummer. It will be a very stout run defense versus a dynamic run offense this week. I mean, you have two giant edge rushers. Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker are giant people. Mm-hmm. And then you have Eric Armstead, who's 6'8", and guys who are just using their hands very well. And the unsung hero of that defense is their nose tackle, Devon Hamilton, who's an exceptional football player too. It'll be still heavily favoring the run game. It'll just be how they attack, what they see. And we'll see a little bit of a little – extra stank or a little bit of tweak on something that is their bread and butter. But they're not going to totally escape it and turn into a Brian Daboll 60 passes kind of game. It's just not what's going
to
happen.
All right, so it's really interesting you say that because, I mean, I go down to Carolina, I'm standing on the sidelines, and I don't think I've ever seen that many toss sweeps in one game ever thrown to James Cook. It was incredible. They just ran toss sweep after toss sweep. It was incredible. And then you go to Pittsburgh, and it's the same run. What did TJ Watt say? They were in the same damn playoffs all the time. We couldn't stop it. And that, I think, was maybe a little bit of inside zone and the cutback or whatever.
Yeah.
But James Cook is the guy, right? That James Cook, it doesn't matter which way. Why, you blocked for him. Did you see this ascension coming, and why is he so special?
Yes, I did. Maybe not quite to what, like, I mean, these past 2 years have been tremendous. It's just been tremendously fun to see James Cook play football. I remember his jump from year one to year two, just his ability to see the scheme, understand how to attack it, just be his attention to detail and his precision on how to sync runs and the strength of it and understanding. You know, I also give that to Cromer and Joe Brady, how they install the run game. The whole offense is in there. The whole offense is in there. So everyone knows how the tight ends are going to block this, how the left tackle is going to block this, the combination between the right guard and right tackle, how many steps James is going to sync this, what his read is. Everyone's got the keys to the castle. Everyone understands what's going on. So it's a communication thing. But I what makes James Cook so special is, of course, his vision, but also his ability to not take big hits is pretty unbelievable.
He's the smallest main running back in the league, I believe, Mitch.
Which is, he doesn't run like it.
No.
He knows when to lower his shoulder, when to get out of bounds, when to slide. That's just instinctual football. And I think that's what James Cook is. He's an instinctual football player who exacerbates his great qualities and understands his limitations and just kind of lets those kind of go to the wayside because he just plays great football.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
From the outside looking in now, is there anything that has surprised you about this Buffalo Bills team in 2025? Whether it was a preconceived notion you had, an expectation you had, and that could be good or bad. Has anything surprised you about this team?
I think the surprising thing has been when you bring older guys back. Like, you brought Micah Hyde back last year. It was pretty much on, like, he was on retainer for being a mentor for the defense. But you've had guys come back, make substantial impacts, like a Jordan Poyer, Jordan Phillips this past game and these past few games. He seems like he's playing healthy and well. You have a guy,
Trey
White, dude. Yeah. One of my favorite teammates of all time, Trey White, who seems like he's having fun playing football again, which selfishly is one of the coolest things to see.
I'll bring up also, Gabe. You played with Gabe last year, too.
Well, how could I forget Gabe Davis? That's one of my best buddies. To see him have that snag, especially that first touchdown back, which was almost like a Cirque du Soleil catch, was great. So just to see the veterans who have been there before to be brought back and make an impact was pretty profound, in my opinion, and I think really good for this team.
We've gone all this way. We haven't talked about your buddy Josh Allen. Wins the MVP last year. You've seen him grow up, Mitch. You saw him grow from a young college kid and, you know, his second year in the league, basically, to now married, having a kid, right? And 29 years old, going into, you know, really the middle of his career, the prime of his career. And a guy here that people are saying so much pressure on him to win. How does Josh approach that? We've seen all these debates on social media. I don't buy it. You know, I think it's unfortunate that you have all these other quarterbacks who aren't in it, and yet Josh is the one getting the, oh my God, he's got to win. Well, what about the guys that didn't even make it to get into the field, right? Josh is kind of him and James, to me, if I may say, they kind of drag this team to the playoffs, right? But how do you think Josh handles all of this, and what have you seen from him and his maturity and his growth?
Josh is an interesting study. Of course, he's always had that it factor. He's always had that competitive fire that you see that no matter what game it is, against whatever opponent, week one to the late in the postseason, he's looking to make those plays and have a substantial impact on the field. He's always had the locker room behind him, and he does that by creating, even if it's the smallest relationships with every single person that walks through that, so you feel like you have a personal relationship with the superstar, right? Your quarterback, who's the MVP. You garner the MVP, you garner all this, what do you ever want to call it, fame, accolades, you earn that right, and then you also have to take it on the chin when you get criticism or these expectations that might not be totally fair. And I think we're in that phase of that. Like, you're such a good football player, such a stoic trademark of the NFL. Like, it's a hot button topic. People are going to talk about it. What have I seen him do? I've seen him run a little bit less, slide a little more, but it's more of just the continuation of what I knew he had and what we saw, more than anything that he's changed about his game.
So when we think about this game on Sunday, there are so many different storylines to talk about. I don't want to put you on the spot and just ask you like who is going to win, but I'll ask it this way. If the Bills are going to win, why? And if the Jags are going to win, why?
Great question. The Bills are going to win. Bills, because there's so many things. The thing that stands out to me, and I can't kick it, is special teams, right? Matt Prater news to me is so substantial. He comes in and he plays admirably. He plays more than admirably. He becomes a reliable kicker in his 40s. And then you have, just this inopportune quad injury that happens, the most inconvenient time. And then on the flip side, you have a Jags team who is – has Heath Farwell at the helm, who's a really good special teams coach.
Yeah.
You have a Pro Bowl caliber punter, a Pro Bowl caliber long snapper, which does make a difference. And you have a Pro Bowl caliber kicker who we've seen in these highlight reels that is hammering these 70-yard field goals, but he's also wildly consistent. That being said, we also have the Bills, have one of the most explosive kick returners in the NFL. I think maybe the highlight, that's the guy was not, if that answered your question earlier, the pleasant surprise this year has been that kick return.
Ray Davis.
Excuse my, his name escaped me, but how could I? And especially he was toting the rock this past game so beautifully. It's going to come down to special teams for the Jags. And it's going to come down for the Bills. That thing we were talking about earlier, which was just being efficient with the football, not turning it over, because the Jaguars feast on those turnovers.
Mitch Morris joining us here, and it's always Game Day in Buffalo. We appreciate his time. But Mitch, obviously, big weekend in the NFL. You are now in a position where you can kind of watch it from a 30,000-foot view. anything that you like that's going on this weekend? Another game you're interested in, whether that's on Saturday or Sunday or Monday night with the Texans and Steelers? You got what, Eagles and Niners going at it in the NFC? Right. Yep. I mean, Chargers and Patriots. What are you looking for?
Yeah, the Chargers and Patriots really don't do too much for me. It's nothing against the Chargers personally, but something about that team does not spark anything in me. The Patriots themselves have been quite a team to follow this year. As much as you hate it, you can't refute that the Mike Vrabel effect has been taking full effect in New England along with Drake May. The Texans Steelers is absolutely something that I'm interested in, because being in that division last year, playing that Texans defense twice, seeing the Bills play the Texans defense the past few times, they have something special. Nico Ryans is the guru of that four down San Francisco Robert Saleh tree of just running up the field and causing havoc. And then those two defensive guys. And then you have Aaron Rodgers who, as much as people don't like him, I love watching Aaron Rodgers play. He's a special player to watch, and maybe it's sometimes for the worst reasons, but more often than not, he's just special. I just love the way he plays. And then also, one of my favorite players of all time, one of my favorite teammates of all time. This is going to surprise a lot of people, but I've been wanting to scream this from the top of the mountain, is Mac Jones. And the 49ers are a team to watch. Mac Jones is one of my favorite people of all time. He's one of my best friends. Great quarterback. And he gets, I mean, dude, when we were in Buffalo, I hated the guy. I told him that to his face. I couldn't stand him. And when we traded for him, when I was there, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go. And then within 5 minutes, I was just blown away with how much of a professional and how great he is. So to see, I become a little bit of a 49ers fan by proxy. It's been fun. The NFL this year has been just such a hoot, dude. It's a blast.
Dude, I'm stunned. The Mac Jones thing just took me for a loop because all you see, like in Buffalo, all I see was the press conferences when he was in New England. He looked like he was a hostage. I was like, what is going on?
He is a remarkable person. He actually just texted me today because he knows I'm a huge E40 fan and he's in San Francisco. And he said that he told E40 I was a big fan. And I giggled like a little girl for about 20 minutes. It was one of the coolest. He's just good people. So, and that's the fun thing about the NFL and getting on these teams. And even though your lifespan with a guy can be just 1 year, it's so intense. You garner these great relationships. And I assume it's the same by covering these guys. Yes, it's a different setting. It's a different kind of intimacy, but yet you see these guys all the time. You grow fond of certain dudes. And it was such a treat.
Yeah. I hate when people, you know, criticize us in the media for maybe, I don't know if you want to say getting too friendly or something with people, but that's what you do. You develop relationships. A really great book I read, I will recommend to people, is Jay Glazer wrote a book and it's called Unbreakable. And it's really good. I'm not much of a reader. I love the audiobook. So I did listen to it. And Jay Glazer actually had a great point in there. When he started his career, he was a beat reporter for the Giants. And he said, you know, the other local media members would kill him because he seemed like he was too friendly with the players. And he said, they didn't understand. I was building relationships. I was building trust with people. And that's what this is about. This whole thing that we're all in. We're in this big environment in the NFL. Everything's about relationships. You just mentioned it. You got Heath Farwell is in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So is Eric Ciano now. Ryan Nielsen's in Buffalo, right? I mean,
I forgot about
Nielsen. All these relationships that go back and forth and cross platforms and all those kinds of things. You get Mac Jones who comes there. So that being said, I want to ask you a question that I think our listeners are really, really interested in because, Mitch, I have covered this team now through four regimes, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm getting older. And I've been, Chan Gailey, Rex Ryan, all right? I mean, it doesn't matter. You're going before that. You had GMs and Buddy Nix and Doug Whaley. So you have played on multiple teams, multiple organizations, successful organizations, what they built in Kansas City, what they built in Buffalo. We just saw John Harbaugh get fired after 18 years. I mean, sometimes relationships do wear thin with people. I made a comment the other day on the radio. I said, listen, if the Bills lose Sunday, we're probably doing Sean McDermott radio for 2 hours on Monday because I know the way this fan base is. Can you give Bills fans a sense of what they have in being a McDermott and what it's like around the league? And I'm not even asking you to say whether or not they should look into making a change. I just want to give you to give the kind of real kind of analysis of being in these buildings and what it's like.
Wow. What an impressive question. Yes, it's a hot button topic of conversation, regardless of, there's a few exceptions throughout the league. Knowing Sean, and Brandon, of course, has been one of the pure joys, especially I do have a unique experience of being two other organizations. That being, it's interesting to see how other things are run, what teams emphasize, certain deals, right? Like you can't refute the family environment that the Bean and McDermott era has brought to the Buffalo Bills organization. And the one thing that when I was back in Buffalo this past September for the New Orleans game, I sat down with Sean for a bit and we were talking and I had said a few words to the team begrudgingly because he brought me up there against my will. But I chatted a few things. The one thing I had said was, I wish I had smiled more when I was playing and doing this, because, you know, it's a cyclical thing when you're playing. As a young guy, older guy saying to enjoy the moment, enjoy the experience, and then you get out, and then you're the old guy telling folks to enjoy the experience. And he texted me that night, which was a Friday night. I was out and about and said, hey, if you have an opportunity to come in tomorrow morning, I'd love to chat with you just for a few minutes. And we chatted about that, and we chatted about certain things I won't bring up. But the one thing I can tell you is Sean McDermott wakes up every day and asks himself, how can I better this team and how can I better myself as a coach? He always has. It keeps him up at night. And sometimes it's manifested itself in strange ways. But guess what? That's a human experience. We all have that thing happen. His just happens at a much broader, more public scale. these guys are exceptional coaches, and to see the leadership maturation from my first year to my last year there from Sean and Brandon was an unbelievable experience. There's stability. There's always competition, tension between, you know, with internally with themselves to be a better person and to make this experience the best for the players and to be fluid in how that goes. And it's never perfect. Never is. But those guys have the best interest of not only that organization, but that city and their players always at the forefront of their mind. And that is an exceptional quality to have, and not every place does.
That was an exceptional answer.
I love it.
Really, really good, Mitch. That was really, really good.
Appreciate it. Now, I will say one thing, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So there's a weird contingency, not a weird, but a pretty fun contingency of coaches that live in my neighborhood. And one group I started golfing with, because I've gotten to know one of the guys really well, is Mike Mularkey.
Mike Mularkey
is, first of all, one of the best humans on earth. And he invited me out to golf with another coaching buddy the other day of the club we belong to. And I show up to the tee box, and it was, who is the head coach forever for the Giants? Won a Super Bowl.
Tom Coughlin.
Forgive. I cannot believe I had the big punchline. I forgot his name. That's me right. And Tom Coughlin. I just find myself. I'm not even.
By the way, Tom Coughlin, Syracuse guy, right there. There you go,
dude. Unbelievable person, but there is some gravity around him. I just found myself just like if he was in the sand, just raking the sand for him. I don't know why. It was just cool. But Mike Mularkey is great. Talk about that relationship, that fraternity of just that, and sorority for that matter. It's been a really fun experience.
Mitch, last one for me, and I understand like. You find yourself in a unique situation. You played for the Bills, you played for the Jags, but this is more of a big picture in the grand scheme of things. This could be this year. This could be next year. If the Buffalo Bills were ever able to win a Super Bowl, what would that mean to you as part of that organization and somebody who spent a lot of, you know, time and a lot of effort, blood, sweat, and tears trying to get there? What would it mean to you to watch them do it for the city?
Yeah, no matter how much time you spend in Western New York, it does change you fundamentally. And I know that sounds about as cheesy and corny as you possibly can be, but there's so much truth to it. I do have some amazing experiences. I spent 4 years in Kansas City with the Chiefs. I absolutely adore that organization as much as the Bills fans don't want to hear it. I love Coach Reed. I love many of those players. The 1 year I had with Jacksonville, yes, professionally, we did not do well. But that doesn't take away from the relationships that you build and the players that they have there. And it's been a joy to live here and see that team succeed because you knew you had it in them. But when I go to bed at night and dream about football, which I rarely do, but if I do, I'm in a Bills uniform. What that would mean to me would be extraordinary because, you know, there's a little microcosm of, I mean, talk about sentimental. I wish I was a fly on the wall for that game on Sunday to see Highmark Stadium be not put to rest because that's a little bit crass, but to, you know, how they retire a flag, you know, they bring out the trumpets. It was a joyous experience and what that meant to that organization, what that meant to that community. I don't know where that parade would go through, but that place would burn and it would be a joyful burn. It would be a beautiful thing to see, not only for that team, but especially for that for that community. It was such an exceptional. Once you become a part of Western New York, that community, and you become part of the Bills, that tailgating experience. I know I'm going all over the place. That tailgating experience in New Orleans for that New Orleans game, rather, was one of the most joyous experiences because you put your first fall away from the game. You put that on a pedestal, and you put a lot of expectations on that. And my first ever tailgate, I wanted to be in Buffalo and I had expectations and they were blown away, not from the scale or the intoxication, which was great, but from the folks, the people and what that meant to see this team. Yes. I would want to be, I would have loved to be one of the guys that had brought in it, but you have a little bit of piece of the pie. You're part of the gig. It would be an extremely joyous experience to see this team go all the way. And eventually when it does, if it's this year or in the ensuing years, of course you'd like to say it's a matter of when, not if. And I know that this fan base begrudgingly will tell me that they've been waiting for how many years for that. But
yeah,
dude, you know exactly what it would mean for this organization to win a Super Bowl for everyone involved. It would be a holy experience, a religious experience.
I mean, you know, when you go to that tailgate, you really see. I mean, I know you knew it when you played, but you really see the connection that this team has to this community. And, you know, Matt and I were a part of that. And, Mitch, I went to my first game in 1987 in that stadium. And I was there in 1990 for 51-3. And Matt's been going with his dad, and it was emotional for him. And he told stories on the podcast about going with his dad. Like, that, it is a communal event here in Buffalo. And you know what's really cool, Mitch? And we'll end on this. You get to come back next year and tailgate with the same people in the same spot, for a new stadium.
Yeah. It is. You know, some moments and some thoughts and some experiences, there's not words to describe it. The one thing I wish every player had the opportunity to do would be to tailgate or to have an experience of the tailgate while still playing, because it does absolutely amplify the experience of playing. I'm glad I didn't know what was going on out there, because my anxiety would be even more through the roof just to see how much it meant for these folks. You knew it. But I will also leave you guys with this.
Yes.
When I moved here to Jacksonville, or suburb of Jacksonville, I had a bunch of Buffalo stuff. We kept it, but I had some stuff to, there's certain things that I'm just not going to keep. There's some Buffalo memorabilia. Mm-hmm. But I go to introduce myself to my neighbors, and the first thing I do is I cross the street to meet the first neighbor, and I look down at the ground, and they have a rock that says 716.
Oh, jeez.
And I look over, and it says, Buffalo. And then you can't even see the house because it's a giant Bills flag, and it has a giant poster that says, do good, be good, God bless, and go Bills. And the amount of Bills folks around this area, it's startling. So the Bills will be represented well down here in Florida. I'm excited to see it.
Mitch, I knew you were a great guy right off the rip when you made the donation to Feed More. I talked to you and Caitlin then, and I was like, that is so damn impressive that they wrote a check that big for a community that they just joined. So you set the tone very early. You were always a treat to cover. So thank you for how cordial you were then, and thank you for being here today, because I think we really enjoyed this, and I know the audience will as well.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Yes, what a trying time COVID was, but I feel like I rambled quite a bit on this, but I appreciate the time. I appreciate the fellowship, and God bless you guys. I'm looking forward to future interactions.
Yeah, we ramble a lot here, but we're really, really glad to have you on today. And of course, make sure you subscribe at Sal Sports. And of course, anywhere you pod, we have It's Always Game Day in Buffalo and Monday Mornings with Mitch. Make sure you're watching Mitch Morse do his thing as well as his new career.